Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. Chris is not here. It's me again, John. I'll be your host for tonight. I'm here to talk to you about Middlesbrough 1, Arsenal 2. Don't adjust your sets. We really did win a game. I know it's a little bit of a shock, but it finally happened. Tonight I'm joined by Ellis. Ellis, how you doing, mate?
Hello. Good to be back on. Feels like it's been a while. I sort of go for a period where I just sort of disappear. But sometimes it's hard to bring myself to come on a show after the recent performances. But I'm here.
Well,
after a win.
You've got a real job that actually helps people, so can't really blame. And also pleased to have back on the show, who hasn't been on for a very long time, Jamal. How you doing, mate? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been ages, man. Thanks for having me. As always, it's a pleasure to come on and talk about football.
How is Sweden? How's Gothenburg?
Yeah, Sweden's good. As I'm sure you're all aware of what happened about a week ago up in Stockholm. It's good. Sweden's good. Sweden's safe.
Nice to hear. Well, I'm pleased to report on a win for a change. I'm going to try and be positive. I know it's shocking. It's me. But I'm going to try and be as positive as I can be, even though Arsenal's made me miserable the last couple of weeks. I guess we should start off with the formation, which was a bit of a shock to everyone. I thought when I saw it, when it came out, I thought, well, they're not really going to play for it at the back. Gabriel will just play right back. It'll be the usual sort of shape. But he went for it, 3-4-3. Ellis, what did you think? What was your take on the formation before the game? Was it much of a surprise? And were you actually convinced that's how they were going to start? Or did you think it would be first 5-10 minutes and then they'd just slip back into the back four?
First of all, I was quite shocked with the three at the back. Like, we sort of mentioned pre-radio show about how I personally thought we didn't really have the players to sort of play that formation, so that's probably why we didn't start, and how, in terms of the way Arsene Wenger drills the players, you can't imagine him ever really training them to play in that formation. But so that probably shocked me just to see those three up there. Also shocked me a bit to see those three particular centre-backs, to be honest. Like, I thought probably the likes of Mustafi might be in there over Rob Holding, but I think Rob Holding deserves a chance. Like, no one's really covered themselves in fucking in glory at the back anyway, or in the whole squad full stop. So I think to give Holding a chance was a good opportunity, especially against a team like Middlesbrough, who've scored the least goals in the league, something like 29, probably 30 now after that goal from Negredo. So it's always going to happen against us, wasn't it? But yeah, I was initially quite shocked with the formation, and I probably agree. Yeah, I thought they might slip back into it, and reflected on the actual game and how they played it, I'm not sure we really executed it that well, to be honest. I thought Gabriel at times in the first half, I didn't notice it so much in the second half, pushed quite far forward, like he was still playing that sort of right back role that he played for a bit. And I thought he probably needed to be a bit more tighter, and we could have really got caught out with him up the pitch a bit further. I felt him, Rob Holding, sort of was on the left, and you had Gabriel on the right centre back, and then Koscielny in the middle. And I thought sometimes they sort of drifted a bit too far away from each other. I agree with what you said earlier before the radio show that the formation could have been good for the Ox, but me personally, I didn't think he had too well of a game. I thought it was all right. I just thought his touch was a bit off, and I don't know what it was about the pitch or whether it was raining a lot, but he seemed to be slipping quite a bit. A few other players slipped quite a lot, especially
I noticed that in
the first half. Ox literally slipped over twice in the space of a minute on one of the Middlesbrough attacks, and that did make me worry and think maybe we might need to change the studs at half time. But again, I didn't really notice it in the second half. But in terms of the formation, I wouldn't say it was a resounding success. I think I don't think it was executed as well as it could be. I think when you've got teams like Chelsea and Spurs and people like that, they've got the sort of midfielders for it, whereas we didn't play in sort of Xhaka and Ramsey. We all know Ramsey can be a bit suspect positionally. He can drift from his position. Whereas if you've got someone like Kante or someone like Dembele and Wanyama, too, sort of like all sort of quite physical, strong athletes, and we don't really seem to have that in our midfield at the moment. There's no one really that steps out for me like that. Coughlin obviously done quite well a few seasons ago as a destroyer, but he just seems so limited this season in the way he plays, and he didn't deserve to start. I thought Xhaka in the formation played all right. It's hard for him. I feel sorry for him because he's sort of come into this Arsenal squad in such a turmoil time for this team, and I feel he hasn't really had a fair crack of it. He's been tried with loads of different players in that midfield, and we don't really play the formation that suits him. Obviously, Drew can probably say more about how he played when he was playing for Mönchengladbach and yourself, like you've seen him as well. So I don't think he's perhaps got the fair crack, but I thought he did all right today. And I thought Rob Holding, although he wasn't tested that much, was okay. Gabriel, for me, I'm quite critical of him, and I won't I won't say I'm not. Like, I am critical of the guy. I didn't think he was too great in that formation. Koscielny obviously had a bit of a mare from the goal, but we'll talk about that a bit later. But all in all, I don't think we'll see that formation again. Not against a decent opponent, anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah, Jamal, the sort of the talk before the game was Mustafi was injured. You know, Koscielny was back, who, whenever he's been out the side, we've looked even sort of more shaky at the back than we have even when he is in there. I know we've still conceded goals whilst he's played, but we certainly look better when he's in the team. So Arsene kind of reasoned that we needed three at the back to be a bit more solid. The one surprise for me was Hector Bellerin perhaps missing out. When you're playing with in a system where you have two wing backs, essentially, I thought Ox did actually quite well on that side, playing a position he's not really played before, but it just seemed tailor-made for Hector, who started his career out as a winger. I know he got a lot of stick in the Palace game, but I think that was the fans weren't necessarily aiming at him. It was just in the team in general. I think that's been hyped up a little bit. And also going into what Ellis said about the centre mid pairing, were you a little bit surprised that maybe Elneny wasn't played in there next to Xhaka because they'd done okay together previously, and just having a slightly more naturally defensive partner in there was just going to complement Xhaka's passing range?
So I think to touch on just the first, because I agree with a lot of the things you said there. I think I was shocked to see Bellerin omitted from the squad. But I think I can also understand, given the, you know, players who have been given week in, week out, you know, their chances to perform this season, and Bellerin hasn't been the same player since his injury. So I can understand why, you know, Chamberlain, who's, he's kind of made his feelings quite well known and he's itching for a move away. I think those things need to be taken into some form of context. And when you're playing a formation like this, a 3-5-2, it is very defensive, which is very unusual for, you know, Arsenal. We're not a not a defensive team, so I can understand why he went with why he went with Chamberlain as opposed to Bellerin, because he does offer that power added on with pace. Because Bellerin isn't a powerful player, and on top of that, with Ramsey in the midfield, I think we were looking for some form of creativity, because Elneny isn't a creative player. So
yeah.
But then again, I think Ramsey kind of proved today that neither is he.
The midfield was a little bit suspect at times, but we'll get into the game. I actually thought we started quite well. First couple of minutes, you saw some really quick early balls into the box from Oxlade-Chamberlain, something we always ask for when we have Giroud up front. And then after that, it kind of died down a little bit. Middlesbrough, I thought, were pressing us a lot higher than I expected. I expected them to sit off a lot more. And the first, I guess, real incident in the game was probably the penalty shout on 70 minutes, Ayala on Giroud. Ellis, I'm guessing you agree with most people that was a stonewaller, how that wasn't given as a penalty.
Yeah, completely agree. Like, that sort of penalty shout was given a lot more at the start of the season. It seemed like the refs and the FA are really trying to crack down on sort of hands and shirt pulling inside the box, but it seems to have just faded away towards the end of the season. It doesn't seem like a priority for them at the moment. And I was completely shocked when I initially saw it. I thought penalty. And then when you saw the replay, you could just see how many, like, he was all over Giroud, like, proper all over him. That's a definite penalty. And you can see Giroud arms up. He's not really touching Ayala, and Ayala's all over him. He falls down. And I was surprised not to see it given as a penalty, because it did seem like such an obvious decision for the referee to call. But he obviously just thought to himself that it wasn't. But then you see later on in the game, you see players. I might be looking at this through sort of Arsenal tinted glasses, but I know, like we say it all the time, this Arsenal team's not full of nasty bastards. There's no nasty bastards in our team. Like, the only sort of one who even comes close is Xhaka, and then he seems more clumsy than nasty, to be honest. And he gets caught out for it a lot, really. And he's got that sort of reputation. I feel sometimes he's a bit harshly treated because they know it's Xhaka and they know he's got it in his locker, so he'll get a yellow when other players might get away with it. You could the old saying, "Oh, it's not in his game" and shit like that. No, he's not that type of player. When anyone can be that type of player, if you fucking misplace a tackle, then you can break someone's leg. But that's besides the point. But it seems like when we put our hands on a Middlesbrough player, they were going down straight away, but the Arsenal lads seem to try and stay up most of the time and just don't get anything for it. Like, I think there was a situation with Monreal on one of It might have been the guy that came on with the stupid hair. I can't remember his name. Traore.
Oh, Traore, yeah.
And I think at one point it might have been him and Monreal. Monreal had his hands on someone. The guy just went down and the referee blew straight away. And you thought, well, in terms of contact, compared to what happened to Giroud in the box, there was nothing there. But it just seems like the typical thing is if it's outside the box, they're going to give a free kick. But if it's inside the box, it presents them more of a difficult decision on their hands. And they just seem to bottle it sometimes, referees.
Yeah, geezer with dodgy hair going down. Sounds like Chris Carpenter. Let's get that one in there. It should be said it was it Anthony Taylor, wasn't it, tonight, who was the referee who got terrified by a pensioner. Got that terrifying push. The first half was, I thought it was strange because we were keeping the ball okay and lots of possession, which we've seen a lot this season, but not really creating too many chances. The first one I could think of in the first half was that knockdown and the sort of half volley for Ramsey that he hit into the ground too much. They did get the ball in the back of the net, Borough. Luckily, it was offside. Was that a bit of a worry for you, Jamal? Because we gave away a lot of free kicks, especially in the first half. I can think of five or six occasions. As soon as we gave away the free kick, we were dropping very deep, almost to the edge of our own box, even if it was basically in Borough's half. And they were able to switch the angle and put the ball in. And they were getting in with just balls to the back post quite a lot, which is strange when you consider we had three centre-backs starting tonight.
I think it's easy to be worried. I mean, we're shit at the moment. So I think if you're not worried, then you have to ask yourself, you know, are you watching the same match that other people are watching? And I think the first half sort of summed up. But then again, I think it's also down to the formation because, I mean, at one point, every time Arsenal would get the ball, they would hoof it up only to then invite more pressure. So it's only understandable that we were giving away fouls left, centre and right. But at the same time as well, I think I don't understand why we chose to go with that formation, because maybe we could say we did that because we wanted to sort of win the game at all costs. But if you look at certain moments in the game, I think it could have been avoided, especially in the first half when we conceded not too shortly after going up at the other end. It's frustrating and everything that I was watching today, it was understandable why it was happening.
Yeah, I get people because some people in the chat are frustrated and I was frustrated watching the game because it wasn't the greatest, but I think what Carlito Gunnar's putting in, you know, we won the game and it's baby steps, and I think it is trying to build the confidence back into the team. I do suspect there's a little bit of Arsene sort of publicly saying, and Chris put this earlier about, look at me, I can change, you know, I am flexible, which people have obviously, especially in the last couple of weeks, have been accusing him of and saying if he changes and shows he can do that, then maybe he's more likely to get the contract. If you want to go on that, go.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with him wanting to change, or him changing to a 3-5-2 for one game is proof of, look, I can change. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it just has to do with the fact that we needed 3 points. The players that he had available to him. I mean, since Cazorla has been injured, we've had no central midfielder that's been able to offer any form of creativity. Then you look at the total collapse of the defence, and it's a mess. The team is a mess, and I think it was just down to, okay, well, we'll try anything at this point to take the 3 points. But I can assure you, if he does stay on come this first game of next season, it will be back to a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I sadly agree with you. We'll get to the first goal. Alexis free kick, been our star man all season, been a lot of criticism of him lately, giving away the ball and possession and accusations of him being disruptive in training and so on. But there's one thing that he always gives is that he does always try and he's always a goal threat. Think Guzan probably should have done a little bit better on the goal because it wasn't exactly in the corner, was it? I mean, I'm not complaining because I know Jason was having a pop at me earlier for moaning about it. But I'm very pleased he scored the goal. But I just thought it was a bit of poor goalkeeping, but decent hit nonetheless. What do you reckon, Ellis?
I think, touch on your first point, Alexis Sanchez has come up with a lot of criticism by people. I've seen it all over Twitter. I'm seeing it in some parts of the WhatsApp chat and some of the guys that I know who are Arsenal's fans as well just seem to be, I think it's more of a realization that Sanchez could be off in the summer, and we're sort of trying to do that thing where we try and convince himself like he's a shit player, like, oh, he's really hindering the way we play and we'll be better off without him, blah, 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 when really he is probably our best player. And I think he has been poor of late. Like, there was a point where he's either scoring or assisting pretty much in every game. He's gone through a little period where he hasn't been scoring or assisting. He has been dropping really deep. He has been turning the ball over in pretty shit positions. He has been trying too hard. He hasn't been passing out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that is more a reflection of our team as a whole and the way we're playing as a team. And I feel like he's trying to take it upon himself because he's looking around and he's seeing some other players and think, we are fucking dire at the moment. We can't do anything. And he's coming into too deep of positions because he's obviously not trusting the rest of our team. And it's just, he's trying too hard. But I'd like to put a bet on and say that if he was, say he does move in the summer to a team like Chelsea or Man City or someone like that, or even PSG, like Chris has mentioned him going in the past, I doubt he'd make that many mistakes because he'd be surrounded by better players and he wouldn't have to, I don't think he'd feel that he'd have to drop so deep and have to put in so much effort and try and carry the team like he is at the moment. And it is difficult, but even when he is playing bad, and the same for Mesut Ozil, like, he's not been great. He's disappeared in many games this season, but both those two guys stepped up today and scored the important crucial goals. Obviously Alexis to put us in front and then Mesut Ozil to put us back in front after we'd conceded. So yeah, I don't want to be too critical of the guy, and I am going to be gutted if he does leave because I do really like him. I am frustrated by him at the same point as well. It's difficult, but I feel it's hard to just completely dig Sanchez out when our whole team as a whole has been just shit. Like, at least he's scoring goals, at least he's contributing. Like, I know he turns the ball over, but it's only because he's trying to make things happen, which our midfield doesn't seem to be doing at the moment. But in terms of the first goal, yeah, I think Guzan could have probably been done better. But if you ever look at the fucking wall that they've got there, they've got a really big wall. And I'm like, he's probably thinking, well, that wall's there. Like, we should be all right. But he's not positioned himself great. But I think in the end of the day, it was a good free kick. And I don't think many a keeper's, depend on, even if their position was a bit better than Guzan's, would have got to there because he's got it right up and over the wall into a good position.
Yeah. So we go in half time 1-0 up. Jamal, would you say fair that we were a little bit lucky to be 1-0 up? Because other than that and sort of the half chance of Ramsey, I can't really remember us creating a clear cut chance. And Borough had a couple of half chances that they weren't difficult saves for Cech to make. Mm. You know, they were straight at him, but he was probably worked a little bit more than Guzan.
I think it was a good free kick, and it was quite stupid of them, or naive for them, to give away a free kick just before half time outside of the box. But I thought it was the ball went in the net and the free kick was technically perfect from a technical perspective.
Yeah.
So to say that Arsenal were lucky to go ahead, no, I think it was the right outcome. But I don't understand that logic in England where teams defend and defend and defend, and just because you've defended, but the other team eventually go forward or go ahead, that you were unlucky to go down. I don't think Middlesbrough, you know, did anything to kind of warrant any form of, you know, justification of them going ahead at all. So no, I thought Arsenal were okay, or they deserve to go ahead because the free kick was a good free kick. Had nothing to do with the keeper's fault. That's what I would say.
I thought we were a little bit, like, don't get me wrong, the free kick was fine. It, you know, it goes in, it's great. And I do think Guzan should have done better, but he gets it on target and that's all you want from the free kick. So I'm pleased with that. I thought Borough were at least worth the draw at half time.
Don't get me wrong, after the shit, but the free kick was a quality free kick. So
it was all very sideways kind of passing and not a lot of penetration, I thought, which is strange when we had Ozil, Alexis, Giroud, Ramsey and Oxlade-Chamberlain on the pitch, and Xhaka, obviously, who can pick a pass as well. So just thought we were lacking a little bit in penetration. Half time, everyone's sort of happy. You know, the did he knock out John Terry? Sorry. Someone's just put lovely comment in the chat. Isn't he fucking off now as well from Chelsea again? hopefully gone forever. Never mind, sorry. Completely distracted. Second
he's
half.
Coming, he's coming after Jack Wilshere's wife. Did you not see his shirt?
Oh, God, yeah, I saw that.
He wants to go to Bournemouth.
I did actually, it was a Chelsea fan saying that they put up a Conte quote and it was, my wife and daughter have lived in Italy for the last year, but now they're going to move to London. And then they put up the John Terry leaving Chelsea foot, and they just put, you know, coincidence. But anyway, we digress. Second half, we're all happy, 1-0 up. It's all rosy until ex-England international superstar Stuart Downing, fucking hell, puts in, to be fair, a very, very good ball. And Negredo scores a header. I've seen loads of people saying all different players it's their fault for this. First, I've seen Alexis get blamed for losing the ball. Then I've seen Giroud blamed because he didn't read the pass that Alexis made and it wasn't a giveaway. Then Monreal for not closing down the cross. And then Koscielny for being completely out of position. Then Cech for not even moving. So Ellis, who are you going to stick the blame on?
let me pick. I could sit on the fence and just say, well, we're all partly to blame because they all didn't do very well. But for me, like, I just thought, like, you can blame Alexis for losing the position there, but there's like a lot of players in between the goal and the player and the ball from there. And fuck me, Stuart Downing of all fucking people. Wasn't there a point when he was at like Liverpool and he literally didn't get a single assist or like a goal for like fucking forever?
I think it was like 2 years or something stupid like that. Which it was weird because before that, when he was he at Borough before he went to Liverpool as well?
Yeah, I think they bought him and Andy Carroll simply for the fact that he could just swing balls on.
Oh, Aston Villa as well, wasn't it? Was it Villa? Maybe. He might have been at Villa as well, but he had like some ridiculous assist record like the season before he went to Liverpool, and then he was awful.
Yeah.
He was like the best winger in the league or something weird. But yeah, sorry, go on, carry on.
But yeah, that just makes it even worse. Like, that's fucking Stuart Downing of all people. But for me, the blame, like, if you're going to say, there's a proportion of blame for everyone in that sort of movement there. But for me, the highest proportion of blame would probably go for Koscielny, just because he just literally did not seem to know where Negredo was. And he just sort of swung at the ball and seemed shot. And was like, oh, fucking hell, there's Negredo. I didn't realise he was there. But I suppose when you've got three in the back, all your defenders should be talking to each other. So maybe he should have got a shout from Gabriel, or someone should have got a bit tighter to him. Maybe it's not just solely his fault, but it did look a bit bad on the replay when he sort of just swung for the ball, missed it, and then there's sort of like Negredo just knocking it away. And it's like I said earlier, they've only got 29 goals in the season so far. Like, players have probably outscored Middlesbrough this season, let alone the whole team. It's just like, of course they're going to score against Arsenal. Like, I think someone tweeted a stat saying we haven't kept a clean sheet since against Sutton in February.
Wow.
It's ridiculous like that.
Yeah, that sounds right, actually.
It was going to happen, wasn't it? We're all completely out of sorts from your defence. But it's something that, I know you said you didn't want to be too negative, and I'm trying not to be negative because we actually have the game and we need to be positive. And like, I can't remember who said it in the chat, but it's baby steps. We need to start building. This team needs to build up some confidence if we're going to end this season with any sort of form at all. Just even if it just means we still come and finish outside the top four, just end on a bit of form to at least then build upon that in the coming season. But it's season after season after season we're so bad at defending, not only like crosses like that, but set pieces. There were so many chances in the second half. There's one really clear-cut one, and you just thought, oh, they're so Arsenal. It's just constantly all the time, and it's got to be down to coaching because the players have changed in 10 years and we're still shit at it now. But at least there was a time when we were quite good at attacking, but now we're sort of dropped off. We're not even that good at attacking. But like, it's just horrible. Like, we always moan about zonal defence and zonal marking and how it's not great and how you need to be drilled really well and you need to concentrate. And it just seems like completely the wrong tactic for a team that are so defensively poor as Arsenal. Like, we don't concentrate. Our players do individually switch off. We do concede goals from individual errors, and it's so frustrating to watch. In the second half, there was a time when the ball came in, and if you're Middlesbrough or if you're the Middlesbrough coach, you're like, every time we get a free kick, put it in the box. Don't shoot, just put it in the box. Because you know what Arsenal are like. Like, even if they do beat one of our players the ball, they're probably going to scuff it. Gabriel sort of kneed it into like perfect position earlier late on in the second half, where like if Negredo or one of the other players in the Middlesbrough forward was a bit on it, he would have got an assist from Gabriel just from the ball that he'd put into that area. It's horrible to watch, and it just needs to be sorted out. But as long as someone's managing the club. It's never going to change unless he starts to let other people take a charge and get like other coaches in defensively.
Yeah, it's a constant frustration whenever we're on here. It's always one of those things we talk about. Jamal, going back to that goal, I know Alexis gives the ball away and Nacho sort of caught up the pitch. He gets back, but then he still gives Downing a lot of room to make the cross. I think Ellis is right, Koscielny does lose his man. It's something we've suffered this season and previous seasons. But do you think maybe there's also a hint of the formation as well, the players not knowing exactly their positioning and who they're calling out? Because I think Gabriel is picking up, who's playing the other side, Gaston Ramirez. At that point, I'm not sure. Holding seemed sort of in two minds as to, was he supposed to come out because Nacho's caught up the pitch and fill in what would be the left-back slot in a system he's used to do. So it looked like a little bit of confusion there, maybe from that.
I think it was just because I think it's so easy with hindsight to look at individuals before the goal happened. But I think the issue was that Koscielny misjudged and made the wrong call for trying to come and attack the ball instead of him just staying on his man. Maybe the communication was off and he wasn't aware. But if you're playing in the middle, with three centre backs, you should. I don't think it's right for you to come and attack the balls. It should be the people in front, like on either side. Did he not try and karate kick the ball?
He did try. Yeah. And he swung a leg at it.
I think that goal was just a moment of poor decision making from Koscielny. I think that was why we conceded. I don't think because you can't expect, your wide midfielders, because Monreal was playing in the wide midfield role, you could say that fullback, but you can't expect him to stop every cross or Sanchez to not lose the ball. So had Koscielny made the right call, then I don't think we would have conceded, because when he came in and missed that ball, Negredo was free on one-on-one with Cech. So,
it was disappointing. After that, we saw the usual terror that ensues, or has been at least for the last kind of 10 games. Whenever we can see the goal, we just go into complete panic mode for at least 5-10 minutes. They got in behind us a couple of times, some good balls in, and luckily for us, Borough just can't finish at all. I think there was one, was it that, who was the left back who came on for the Man United reject?
Oh, Fabio.
Yeah, Fabio. He went off for George Friend. That was it. Yeah, he got in round the back stick and put one across the box, and Ayala got on it, but luckily put it straight at Cech. And that happened a few times in the game. The only other thing I wanted to really mention about the game itself, obviously other than our winning goal, was when Adama Traore came on. He, in the game previously in the season, he caused us a bit of problems. Obviously, really, really quick. His end product is a little bit questionable. I don't know a ton about him. He's got worse hair than Chris, which is an achievement, but, some people have got to try. At the time, I was talking to the guys in the WhatsApp, and I was saying maybe, when he came on, is it not time to perhaps change, go to a back four? Because the back three, we're level in the game, and I thought we were doing okay, except for the goal we conceded, obviously. But defensively, it hadn't really been working. You've got a very quick player on. Monreal is basically playing two positions because Alexis is inside so much. So maybe switch to a back four, because the left-sided centre-back playing at that point was Rob Holding, who's not the quickest. And if you go to a back four, he'll switch to the right side, and Koscielny will come left where he's more comfortable, who is the quicker player. So did you think there was a chance within the game before we actually scored the winning goal to change up the system at all, Ellis?
Yeah, I think... But we touched on it a bit earlier about how the team's coach and how we've probably not played that formation. Well, we've never played that formation in a game, but how I doubt we've had much training in that formation.
20 years, I think it is, since we played a back three, something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous. So you've got to think, we are defensively suspect, and we've got that sort of soft underbelly where if something goes against us, whether it be an actual goal or perhaps a player going off injured or poor decision, we start to get a bit like the old squeaky bum time and sort of shit our pants collectively as a defensive unit, and it just all goes to shit. And you'd think that's sort of amplified even more when you're in a formation that you're not used to playing as well. So I can see your argument, and perhaps going to changing then to four at the back. But then you could also argue that perhaps we're not the best at adjusting to situations like that, then changing halfway through a game or for a match from a formation from three at the back to four at the back. Like, when have we really ever adjusted like that? We never really seem to do it. Arsene Wenger never really seems to change it up too much unless his hand is really forced by injuries or whatnot or a sending off. So it perhaps might have made things worse than made things better. But yeah, it's difficult to say, really. Like, I don't know what could have done. But at the end of the day, we did win the game. It wasn't comfortable, but I suppose you could point to that fact saying that we didn't change it. But I was a bit surprised at how late the actual substitutions came. It was literally like Arsene Wenger thought, well, I've changed the formation, so I don't think I'm allowed to make subs.
But, yeah, we were all waiting for the 70th minute substitution normal whistle to go, but we didn't get it. We should talk about the winning goal then, Jamal. Alexis, who had been bright in the game, picked out a lovely little through ball for Ramsey, who, as the ball's falling for him, well, first I saw him make the run and I thought, oh no, what are you doing? Because I didn't think he had a particularly good game and I thought he got caught out of position a few too many times. And I thought he was probably going to fluff hitting it. But showed some really real intelligence and awareness for a player who, I'll be honest, I don't think before that point I'd really heard him mentioned at all, Mesut Ozil, because he hadn't really been up in the game at all, really, to that point.
How do you fit in, though? That's like, how do you fit in a number 10 into a five-man midfield?
Yeah.
It's tough. So, I mean, he was essentially playing quite central. But I think it was a great finish from Ozil. Very smart. And selfish, which is not usually something that you would, you know, associate Ozil with. But it was a great piece of play from Ramsey as well to chest it down and not go for his shot and miss kick it as he usually does. So it was the decision making that led up to that goal was good, and it was a class goal.
I really like the finish, right footed finish as well, his weaker foot, which, you know, sometimes you see him try and pass on that foot and it just doesn't get anywhere at all. Really clever awareness from Ramsey as well, I thought.
Yeah, he kept it simple, and that's Ramsey's problem. He when he keeps it simple, he can be a good player. But when he tries to overcomplicate and try to go for the spectacular, that's when we start seeing the Ramsey that's taking a heavy first touch or miss-kicking a volley. And, you know, he did that today. A lot of the times, but yeah, I think he did very well to see Ozil there. But then again, Ozil was putting his hand up. So the question is, like, I thought to myself, like, had Ozil not put his hand up before when he was calling for the pass from Sanchez, would Ramsey have seen him?
Yeah. So, we'll never know. But good finish from Ozil. Yeah, I didn't think it was his best game, to be honest. But he got the winning goal, and that's all important. The last sort of 20 minutes of the game was kind of them just launching it long. They kind of run out of ideas, run out of a bit of steam. They brought on Gusteds, went to up top. And then we saw the last samurai come on, Hector. Why did he make the sub at 90 minutes? I don't understand that at all. But, you know,
time,
he brought him
time
on. run the clock down. Yeah. We had a little debut from Francis Coquelin. Jason Davies, oh my word. If I was allowed to play the voice note, I'm not allowed to. But as soon as Coquelin came on, he'd been on the pitch for about 10 seconds. He got the ball. And then I looked at my phone and there was Jason is recording a voice note. And I was like, oh, this is obviously about Coquelin. It was hilarious. I'm sure everyone in the chat can guess what he said. But yeah, it was good fun. And I mean, that was the game, really. There wasn't a whole lot in the match to talk about. Here's an important win. I still think top four is going to be really difficult, but I think we just needed this to kind of calm things down a little bit. If we'd lost tonight as well, it would have been absolutely awful. So as usual, we're going to take questions from the chat and stuff. I just want to say one thing at the end. I really liked Alexis at the end of the game. I know sometimes people have said, who I don't go to games very often, but he often just walks straight down the tunnel. But he was over to the away fans. He was G'ing up the other players, sort of lifting them up and trying to get them to smile and everything for the win. And straight over to some young kid in the crowd, to give him his shirt. I did notice some scumbag try and nick the shirt off like a little six-year-old kid, though. I hope his dad lumped him one. Anyway, not that I'm for violence between Arsenal
fans. Teach him young. It's a dog-eat world.
Yeah. But, I hope the little kid got the shirt anyway, because I'm sure that's made his day. But, if you've got any questions or anything, please do fire away in the chat. Try and keep them to the game if we can. I know we'll probably end up talking about the manager and transfers and stuff, but we will get to that. We've got a few already, I think. Yeah, Ellis put some in. So we got one from Marble Halls TV. This is a good one. Should we sell Koscielny? Unpopular view, but he's making too many mistakes and we need a shit-kicking centre-back. He's not that, and he's over 30 now. Ellis, do you want to go on that first?
I wouldn't sell him, purely because he, at the moment, is our best centre-back that we've got. And in terms of, I'm obviously not a hipster like you guys. I don't know my European football, my extent of European football is watching Champions League and the odd league game when it's on. When it's on Sky, because it's the only sort of thing that's really played. I don't own a BT membership, so I don't see any of the other sort of leagues or the German Football League or anything like that. So I'm not too au fait with who's out there, but it doesn't seem like there's a massive amount of sort of world-class centre-backs out there that I could pick from. Obviously, John, you could probably tell me different, and there's probably a few people could tell me in the chat who we could go for, but in terms of trusting Arsenal to sell our current best centre-back and then replace him on top of all the other sort of positions we need to fill and potentially the world-class players that may leave this summer, I think it's probably not best time to sell Koscielny. I know Arsenal like to buy people within sort of who have a good sort of sell-on value, but we didn't really pay that much for Koscielny, so we're not really losing that much if we were to hold on to him till the end of his contract and he was to maybe finish a career here or just go off for like a cheap fee somewhere else and other than the Premier League. Like, I'd be inclined to keep him on just because in terms of defenders that are up there in like that we've got, we haven't got many. Mustafi looked good when he came in, but he's looked distinctly average after his injury, which could be partly to do with our form and how we've defended as a team, but also it could be to do with the player. So it is difficult, but I'd definitely keep Koscielny on. I don't care if he's 30, he is at the moment our best centre-back. That could change in a few years and my opinion might change then.
Yeah, fair. Jamal, any different or is there a different centre-back you'd maybe let go over Koscielny?
When we say let back, are we talking about all of the centre-backs such as like Chambers, Gabriel?
Yeah, if you want to chuck them in the mix.
Yeah, I'd get rid of Chambers. I'd get rid of Gabriel as well, and Koscielny's aging as well, so we can't. It would be negligent to go into a season with just Mustafi and Koscielny as, you know, the only quality centre backs that you have. I think you need a seasoned, because also Mertesacker is getting on as well. So I think I wouldn't sell Koscielny, but I wouldn't. I would try to maybe get someone to replace him next season and get that already. And because I think Ellis made a great point, if Arsenal do sell Koscielny, I mean, Arsenal still haven't replaced Van Persie or Fabregas, and how many seasons has it been now? So I don't think they instill any hope that they could do the same with Koscielny. So I'd go for another centre-back. I was actually telling a mate before that I think what Arsenal need in the summer is a centre-back, a goalkeeper and a striker and a midfielder. So four players. And I'm not saying four squad players. I'm saying four players that can come into the first team.
Basically a spine.
Spine, yeah.
Which we haven't had in a long time.
No, I think it's a good question. There's been a lot of talk about centre-backs and I think, they've been poor pretty much throughout the whole team, most of them. But you can't put it all down on them. It has been the midfield in front of them, which has been pretty much awful all season since Cazorla's gone. So I don't think selling Koscielny would be the best idea. I think if you got someone in who's the same sort of age as Mustafi, but of better quality to replace, say, Gabriel, then you've got someone to challenge and Koscielny will be the elder statesman, because I think it seems like Per's probably not going to play again, to be honest. I thought he might have come in earlier because he's been back available apparently for so long. So I don't know. We'll move on to the next. Oh, there was a question in the chat. The reason Mustafi didn't play is because he was injured. And that was why they switched to the back three, because Arsenal thought it'd be more solid. Right, next question. We've got... Oh, K-Man 2009. What are your opinions on Sead Kolasinac potentially replacing Monreal? Have either of you seen Kolasinac play?
Nope.
Jamal, have you seen Kolasinac at all?
Oh, yeah, I watch him every week. Solid player. No, I'm only joking. No, I've not seen him.
All right. Well, I've seen him a little bit. The left back for Schalke. They have conceded quite a few goals this season. It's not really his fault. Schalke are, they're okay. They've not been the best team, but he's probably been one of the best left backs in the Bundesliga this season. Your best person to ask about it would be Drew. So if you haven't got Drew on Twitter, it's at AFCBBB_1410, I think. Something like that. If not, I'll put it in the chat in a minute. But yeah, he's the best man to ask for it because he watches Bundesliga every week. He's available on a free, so he wouldn't have to pay anything. And it looks like it's done. I'm not sure it's to replace Monreal, though. I think it's probably more for Gibbs. Personally, I would keep Nacho for another season if we can, because we've seen he can play centre-back if you really need to. And I still think he's a good player. I just think he's had... you know, not a lot of help from what's been in front of him all season, to be perfectly honest. Decent question, but Drew's your best man to ask on that. Next question is from... Shall I ask the one from Akib, Ellis? Am I allowed to?
Fucking go on then, you might as well.
Akib! Our friend Akib asks, Ellis, is Ellis AKB?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Go on, Ellis. Answer the question.
I don't know. No, I'm not. I'm definitely not. I've fallen completely. I've gone full wob. I can't help it. I'll be making a banner soon and making up words and showing passion. And oh, fucking hell.
It's fine. Once Chris Carpenter starts saying that the manager probably needs to go, then you know it's definitely time.
Yeah.
The tide has definitely turned. So don't worry, Ellis. You're not tiring yourself of any sort of dodgy crush.
I don't like the labels, but when it comes down to it, if I want Arsenal, I don't think Arsene Wenger can take Arsenal any further. That's just my honest opinion. I'm not going to slag him off. I'm not going
to
be a dick about
bullet
it.
To the heart.
It hurts to say. And to me, it feels like, sort of, I think I can't remember who one of the guys on the podcast, might have been Dave, wrote about how it's similar to how Muhammad Ali sort of bowed out and was sort of
Yeah, Mr. Hollick, very good blog he did.
It was a really good blog, and he hit the nail on the head. It is horrible to watch. It's like seeing such a great sort of wither away and claw on. There's that old saying, like, you either die a hero or you live long enough to be the villain, and that is quite applicable to Wenger at the moment. It just seems that he's clinging on, and you can understand it because this is like his baby, and you can see why he doesn't want to let go, because he might honestly think out there, there's no one better that can take this club forward. I can't leave him in this state. But conversely, if you're a fan like me and some of the other people, some of the more louder people, you'll think that he's just only going to make it worse.
Yeah, fair enough. But good question. That's it.
Fuck you, Gabe.
We've got a really good one here from Norma, who always asks good questions. Hello, Norma. Jamal, now you already answered this sort of, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Do we keep this formation for City, or will we get murdered? Could happen either way, in brackets. It's a good question. Jamal, you think we'll switch back to the back four then for the City game?
Against a tactical genius like Guardiola, absolutely. I think if we were to go into that game with a 3-5-2, then that's like going into the Wolves then blindfolded. I hope that Arsenal do not play that formation. Against a team like it's Middlesbrough, then yeah, it's a gamble that paid off. But against City, they won't show any mercy. So I think we need to go with what we know works. And hope that the Arsenal players see the occasion, playing at Wembley, as a final at stake, and rise to that. And that should be motivation enough. Because if we think about it, the formation that, you know, Arsenal have been playing for the whole season, that hasn't been the problem. it's not the formation that's a problem, it's the individual players in terms of the setup around that. So I would not advise, and I hope I'd actually consider, but I could be wrong. I could be very wrong, but I know it would be suicide from my perspective if Arsenal went into that game with a 3-5-2.
Yeah, someone put in the chat, obviously we haven't seen the quotes from Arsene yet because obviously doing this, but apparently he said it's something they've been working on for a few weeks in training, apparently this formation. So I'm not sure how much I believe that, to be honest, but you never know, maybe there have been. I personally wouldn't play three at the back. Guardiola is a little bit like Wenger in the fact that it's all about scoring goals and defence is kind of ignored. So putting De Bruyne, Sterling and Aguero one-on-one against our three centre-backs, I fancy they'd have a heyday. Having said that, when we played City last, I actually thought, you know, they weren't all that, to be honest. They weren't particularly impressive. I didn't think either team was. And it was a very weird game. I think that if either side had actually wanted to win it and really go for it, they could have. But we'll see. I'm very confused about that semi-final, whether I actually want to win it or not, which sounds strange because I'm terrified of either team we could get in the final. Which I think is another question we've got. We'll get to that in a minute. Mohamed Shaheem, who could play midfield better than Elneny or Ramsey itself? Ellis?
Elneny and Ramsey together, or just one of those two in midfield? I'm not sure
if he means one or the other. Who could play midfield better than Elneny or Ramsey itself? I'll take it as either one of the two. Who would you have, I guess? I'm not sure on that question.
Okay, yeah. It's difficult. In terms of the formation we played tonight, it would have been interesting to see Elneny, just because I think he's a bit more positionally aware. He's not quite as creative as Ramsey, but whereas one of my main criticisms of Ramsey is that he's overcomplicates things too much and that can bite him on the arse. Elneny's sort of the opposite. He plays the simple balls. If he plays the simple passes, he doesn't overcomplicate it. So in terms of the formation we saw today, Elneny may have been a better option, but you could also argue that Aaron Ramsey was heavily involved in that second goal and he makes those sort of runs into those deep places, into the box, and was able, even though the goal, people might have said he might have overcomplicated it by chesting it down to Ozil instead of hitting it first time. Who knows? We don't know what would happen if he hadn't. But yeah, I think overall, I'd probably pick Ramsey just because he's more creative, but it does depend a lot on the formation and how you try to play. If you're trying to play a more reserved, defensive, solid game, then probably Elneny. But if you want a bit more creativity from your midfield, I'd rather go with Ramsey.
Fair enough. From KD10. This is for you, Jamal. So it's for Jamal mainly. With Sanchez being a top player for Barcelona when he was there, where do you think it went wrong for him here? Where's the difference?
I think he's had he's been better at Arsenal than he has been at Barcelona. At Barcelona, he could go missing for several weeks to months. That was the problem at Barcelona. People say that he was let go because of the fact that Suarez was coming in and that also he wanted to leave. But I think it was also down to the fact that he was struggling to cement his place as a regular first-teamer. Yes, he was scoring pretty goals against Real Madrid and he was scoring spectacular goals against Atletico. But the problem with Sanchez was that he was not consistent. That was the issue. At Arsenal, he's risen to another level. He's had dips in his form that have lasted maybe, you know, but they've not lasted nowhere near as long as they did at Barcelona. So I don't understand the question, because I think it's his career at Arsenal has been fantastic.
Fair enough. We had one about the club, the owner. I can't remember who put it in, so apologies for whoever put it in the chat. But it was, should Kroenke still own the club? So I assume that's just someone who wants him out. Ellis, is he someone that you'd want? Do you still want Kroenke at the club, or do you want change? Or I guess it's just kind of the whole thing with the board at the moment. Do you throw everything at Arsene, or is it actually the people above him as well who deserve to take some of the problems that are going on?
Oh yeah, they definitely deserve to take some of the blame. It's not wholly Arsenal. Like, at the end of the day, Arsenal is the coach. He's there to coach the team, and he's perhaps got too much control at the club than he should have. But whose fault is that? Like, if the board or your bosses are giving you that much power, then you're not going to say no. You're not going to say, oh, no, actually, I don't want 8 million a year. I'll take a pay cut. He's not going to do that, is he? Like, you need some sort of pressure from your boss or from the board on Wenger, and I don't think he's getting that from the board. And I don't know. I'm not savvy to what goes on in the club, and I don't think many people are, to be honest. Like, Stephen, a few podcasts ago, made the point that perhaps Arsene Wenger isn't letting Croquenay have enough of a say, and he needs to let Croquenay and Ivan Gazidis have a bit more power, and then you'll see if they're good or not. Like, it works both ways, doesn't it, really? Like, if they're giving him too much power and not taking more of a chance, and are they then to blame for not doing that? Or is perhaps it's Arsene's turn to say, actually, no, I need some support. I need to focus on my coaching. Can you get so-and-so in? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can someone take some more control here? It's difficult to say. Like, I don't really know, to be honest. I think we probably could do a lot better than Croquenay, but I don't know enough about what he does. But in terms of his American franchises, then none of those teams are really top of their retrospective leagues or franchises, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, it's difficult. I think it's not solely to blame on Wenger. It is a lot as well to do with the board and the way the club is run in general. It's not purely the coach. As much as I've just come out and said that I went Wenger out, there's a lot there's a lot of problems in the club. It's not just the coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people who've been watching this for a long time know that I've wanted change in the manager's role for a very long time at the club. But yeah, the problems at board level have been there for almost as long, and definitely changing. But unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do about Stan Kroenke, so we should wait and see what happens. We'll just do a couple more questions because we're trying to keep all the shows to an hour, because I know Chris and Jason were ranting over Danny last time and he got very upset. We've got one from, oh, I'm going to say this name horribly wrong, Chandraskaran. Oh, God, I hope I got that right. Apologies if I didn't. How can we accommodate Ramsey, Ox, Xhaka and Ozil in the midfield in the semi-final? Does it involve playing Alexis up top? Jamal, what do you make of that?
Well, it's tough now, isn't it? Because it's, I think, since Cazorla was injured, it was about essentially trying to find a different way of playing, because with when Arsenal had that, you know, midfielder fit, they were able to play with pacey forwards and the likes of Walcott. You had Iwobi on the left and you had Sanchez at top, and that worked because of the fact that you had a midfielder in the middle who could quickly take the ball from the back, because Arsenal do like to build up from the back and translate that ball into the final third for players like Ozil, Sanchez. But when Arsenal lost that, then it was difficult to replace, because players like Elneny, Xhaka, Coquelin, you know, these players, they're not very good at that. So in terms of accommodating now these players in the semi-final, it's just a case of going back to two DMs and then playing Giroud up top, because City are terrible at defending at the moment. So bring that big, you know, lamppost and put him up there and just smack it up to him, get him to bring it down and then play ball in their area. It could work. So that's what I would do. That's how I would fit them in. That's how I would fit Ozil in. Play him in his best position. What's his best position? A number 10.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Yeah, there's been an issue that we've said it so many times on here and on the main pod as well. And I think every other podcast out there, you know, since Cazorla's gone, Ozil has kind of looked lost at number 10. It is interesting that Alexis hasn't been up top so much. Simon, one of our bloggers, showed us a quote earlier, and it's from Arsene saying that Alexis feels that he's better deployed out wide because he can see more of the ball and affect the game more. And he can't do that as much through the middle because he drops in too deep. But I still think it is his best position, because it was certainly where we were getting the most out of him. Right, a couple more questions and then we shall wrap it all up. Boy 10 DOQ, where will we finish at the end of the season? Oh God, that's horrible. Go on, Ellis, you can go first. League prediction and FA Cup prediction.
Oh, thank you very much for that. Lovely. oh God. I'm so negative. It's horrible. Fifth or sixth, I can't see us finishing any higher than fifth. I think fourth place is gone. I know there's still potentially a lot to play for, but when you look at the guys we're chasing, you've got United and Liverpool ahead of us. Liverpool have literally not got a top half team. I know they do sort of drop points against the lower half teams, but of late they've been doing, like, they made West Brom, like, we made West Brom look like fucking Barcelona. When they played against Liverpool, they didn't look like anything at all. Like, Liverpool easily beat them, and it's just fucking annoying. Like, I think Liverpool will come fourth, and I think it'll be a battle between us and Manchester United for fifth and sixth. I suppose it does depend on how far United go in Europa League. They'll also have a bit more games to play compared to us, but also they're out of the FA Cup, so there's one less game that we're going to have to play instead of them. But I can see, again, they've got sort of easier fixtures than us. We've both got each other to play still. And we've also both got Spurs to play. So that's potentially points dropped or won either way, depending on how confident you are. But I think we'll probably finish sixth. But I sounds stupid, but I really don't want to play Europa League. I'd rather not finish in fucking any Europe spot than play Europa League. I know that sounds silly and people probably fucking blast me in the chat for it.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. But I'll have Champions League or nothing. Thanks. Yeah. I don't know how well
Chelsea and Liverpool have done when they haven't had any European football. And for me, Europa League, or Ropey League as I like to call it, it's just not worth it, really. It's just, and the fact that you can win that competition and then take a place from the top four, who could potentially, like, if United come fifth, they win the Europa League, they're then going to take it from Liverpool, who have played a lot better than them in the league and done better domestically against better teams because they've won the second rate competition and the Champions League, they get preference for spot. It's maddening. But FA Cup, I think we can get Marseille. Like you said earlier, they didn't seem like nothing special against us. Like, they had chances to win, but they didn't put it to bed. And we could have potentially even come out with 3 points against them, considering how poor we've been playing of late, and they really didn't put us to bed. Gives me hope for the final. It's at Wembley. We've had a good record at Wembley of late when we've got there. Obviously, when we've got there for the two FA Cup semis, we went on to win it. And then when we played them in, I know it's only the Community Shield, but we also beat Wembley there. So I'm confident for that. But the horrible thing is, if we then go through, we then potentially got a final against Spurs, which a lot of people be like, yeah, we can knock Spurs out in the FA Cup. But I can't see it. I'd be nervous as hell. The only time I'd be scared to play Spurs in a final, I don't know. I don't think we'll win the FA Cup, and I think we'll finish sixth because I'm really positive.
Fair enough. I tend to agree. I think we'll probably get fifth, maybe. I just think winning maybe gets the confidence back a little bit. I think we can beat City. I'm not sure that I want us to, because I'm terrified of losing to Chelsea isn't as bad in the final. I mean, it's still awful, but I couldn't face losing to Tottenham in the final. Oh, that'd be horrendous. I mean, the perfect scenario is get to the final, beat Tottenham in the final, and then beat them at White Hart Lane in the league so they can't win the title as well, and just completely crush them for another season, even if it means they finish above us, because it will still be fucking hilarious. But yeah, I think fifth I think we've got enough to beat City. So I think fifth, and then lose in the final to Chelsea, because I can't face losing to Tottenham. Jamal?
I hope Arsenal finish sixth or fifth. I mean, what's the point in finishing the top four? What are we going to do in the Champions League? I mean, I think to rebuild...
I'd rather be in it, though. I'd rather be in it. I know we get knocked out in the round of 16, but I'd rather be in it than not be in it.
But for what purpose? I mean, isn't it better, as you said, to perhaps focus on... Because I think if Arsenal are going to take a look at themselves and say, okay, what is the problem? The problem is, the problem's in and around the club, but it's better, I think, to take a season to focus on one competition and look at the squad and assess the squad from there. Because if Arsenal do go into next season, signing new players, having to bed them in with a heavy schedule, as we know the Premier League doesn't have a winter break, I think for the sake of rebuilding, it's more beneficial for Arsenal to be outside of the Champions League. That's my opinion. So I think Arsenal will finish fifth or sixth outside of the top four, even though history would prove and say otherwise. But and in terms of the FA Cup, I can't see Arsenal beating City.
Fair enough. Right, last two questions, and then we are all done for tonight. One from Mark Dunnis. Check at the end of his number one reign. Do we need Szczęsny? For me, yes, getting back straight away. He's been the best goalkeeper in Serie A this season, hands down. Unfortunately, apparently won't come back if Jerry Payton's there. But Ivan Gazidis is making lots of noise in the press about wanting to change coaches. And Jerry Payton is the man he keeps naming. You know, we know that Czech wanted to bring in Lolochon. His coach from Chelsea, you know, Lehmann didn't like Payton. Fabianski wasn't particularly praising of him when he left either. So if Payton goes, maybe we can get Szczęsny back. I still think he's a very good keeper. Yes, he can be a little bit of a pain in the ass off the field, but if he does his job in goal, then it doesn't bother me. Last question. I'll let you guys both go for this one. Should one of our big priorities in the summer be getting the Ox to sign an extension? That's from Jeffrey O'Hara. I'm just going to add a little bit to this. Obviously, lots of people talking about Ozil and Sanchez leaving. And if they leave, that's terrible because there are two big star names and that never looks good for the club. But I actually think if we lost the Ox, that is a very big loss. Yes, we can get a lot of money for him, but I think he's a really talented player. And to lose someone who is young, is English, and the fans have pinned a lot of hope on, and for him to see that he doesn't really have a future at the club because he doesn't see it going anywhere, I think is in a way even more damaging, if the reports are to be believed that he's got links with Liverpool, whether he signed a deal or not. I can't see that actually being true. That's got to be nonsense. There might be offers in place, but he can't have signed anything yet. Ellis, do you want to go on this first, and then Jamal, you can have your say on the Ox.
I always have to go first.
Jamal, if you want Jamal to go first.
Yes, I do. Go on, Jamal.
I can go first. If Arsenal gave Theo Walcott 10 years, then I said this, and I said this before, then I don't understand why there's the need to perhaps be more open to letting him go. I think Arsenal should be doing whatever it takes to keeping their young English prospects, because Theo Oxlade-Chamberlain hasn't really been given the opportunity to sort of cement his position, because sometimes he's played in central midfield, other times he's played in the number 10 role, and sometimes he's put on the wing. So for me, it's difficult to say where I see Oxlade-Chamberlain playing. He says that he would rather play on the wing, but I wouldn't if I was Arsenal, I wouldn't sell to Liverpool. No matter if they offer 50 million plus £1, I wouldn't sell to them, just because of the fact that you don't want to lose, you know, a bright prospect within the English game, especially to a rival. Or are Liverpool rivals?
Well, yeah. This season they are. Yeah.
I think they have to be. Yeah.
It's one of those awkward things where you could see Oxlade-Chamberlain going to Liverpool, and under Jurgen Klopp, you can see him playing with the likes of Lallana and that, and going, "Oh, he looks quite good. Why haven't we got him in our team?" Yeah. You know. I think there's other players in the squad who you could sell, but the Ox is certainly one I wouldn't. Ellis, what's your take on it?
Yeah, the latest sort of figures being bandied around on Twitter is a £35 million bid from Liverpool. And I said earlier, like in the WhatsApp chat, that I'd be tempted by a £35 million bid if it was invested. But then you're talking about, we've mentioned it before, that would Arsenal invest it? Would you trust Arsenal to go out and spend that £35 million on a right winger that could cause some damage? And who out there could you pick? Like I said, I don't know too much about people out there we could have got, but I think you could probably invest in a good talent with £35 million, even in today's market. But I would be tempted. But it all depends on who sort of goes in the summer. Like, in my opinion, Sanchez will probably be off. I don't think Ozil got. I think we'll hold on to Ozil just because I don't think he'll have as many suitors as what Sanchez will have. I don't think he'll have the options to go to anywhere else. And I think in Arsenal, he's got the whole big fish in a small pond. Like, if I don't think he could really step up any higher than Arsenal. He can probably make like a sidestep, or if he was to step up higher than Arsenal, he definitely wouldn't get the game time that he gets against Arsenal. So it'd be difficult.
Very good question. £35 million for a player who's only got a year left on his contract is a lot of money. I know you get the English premium, but I think the big thing is it depends on who's the manager next year. Are the coaches different? Is there a director of football in? All those questions have to be answered. So I think negotiations and transfers in the summer are going to be horrible, because if any of that thing's changing in the background, it kind of changes all the equations for what happens with players on the pitch and who wants to come to club and all that kind of thing. So, yes, good questions as always. Thank you for everyone in the chat. Thank you for watching. If you are watching live, we love a thumbs up. Chris absolutely loves a thumbs up in his box, as Jason always says. So please do hit the thumbs up button. If you don't like us, hit the thumbs down. That's fine as well. You can do that, because I know a lot of people just thumbs down for my beard or lack of beard at the moment. So that's all good. I don't know if there's a blog out this week. If there is, it will be tomorrow. A pod on Thursday is, I'm not sure who's on. I'm going to look now. It is Mr. Gimley is back. Simon was supposed to be on, but I don't think he is now. And I have no idea. So we are organized as usual. So, yeah, don't worry. There will be a pod on Thursday. Gimli will be on it. Danny will be on it. And there will be other stuff. So be sure to tune in for that. But thank you for everyone for listening and watching live. Thank you to Ellis for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me on. Pleasure as always.
Right, good to speak to you, mate. And thank you, Jamal, for coming back. We'll have to make sure it's not as long next time, so you come back on
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
Wonderful stuff. So thank you for everyone for joining in. I know the game wasn't great, but we won. We got 3 points. That's all good. Scored 2 goals. Ozil's back. It's all fine. Spurs are going to Spurs it up. It's what they do. But yeah, we have been ABW Radio, and we will speak to you on... Oh, God, when's the next game? Saturday? Sunday? I can't remember now. When do we play City?
Sunday.
Sunday. Yes, so we'll be back after the game on Sunday. I have no idea who's doing Sunday. Probably Chris. Yeah, because it's against Guardiola, so he'll definitely want to come on and abuse him, because he loves...
Pep.
He loves the cult of Pep, doesn't he? But yeah, we'll speak to you Sunday, and don't forget to check out the pod on Thursday. Thank you for listening. We've been ABW Radio. Bye bye.
Oh baby.
Turn him on.
When it comes to being true, it's true to me.
That's right. This is what I do. Come on.
One thing I found.
Uh-huh.
One thing I found. Oh no, you never let
no.
me.
Get up, I 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 get up. First I snatched the streets, then I snatched the charts. First I had they ear, now I have they heart. Rappers came and went, I've been here from the start. I seen them put it together, watch them take it apart. Seen the rovers roll up with ribbons. I seen them repo, resold, and redriven. So when I reload, he holds number one positions. When you hot, I'm hot. And when your feet cold, mine's a sizzling. It's plain to see. Niggas can't fuck with me, cause I'ma be that nigga for life. This is not an image. This is God given. This is hard living mixed with crystal sipping. It's the most consistent home. Give you the most hits. You can fit inside a whole distance. Nigga, I'm home on these charts. Y'all niggas visiting. This whole condition. Jericho in the rap. I'm back to claim pole position. Holla at your boy.
Get up, I get. Get up, I get. Get up, I get. Get up, I get. Down for my grandfather who took my mama. Made her sit in that seat where white folks ain't want us to eat. At the tender age of 6, she was a arrested for the sit-ins, and with that in my blood, I was born to be different. Now niggas can't make it to ballots to choose leadership, but we can make it to Jacobs or to the dealership. That's why I hear new music and I just don't be feeling it. Racism still alive, they just be concealing it. But I know they don't want me in a damn club. They even make me show ID to get inside a Sam's Club. I done did dirt and went to church to get my hands scrubbed. Swear I've been baptized these 3 or 4 times, but in a land where niggas praise you cons are getting paid. It's gonna take a lot more than coupons to get us saved. Like it take a lot more than do-rags to get your way. Nothing sad as that day. My girl father passed away, so I promised to Mr. Rainey I'm gonna marry your daughter. And you know I gotta thank you for the way that she was brought up. And I know that you were smiling when you seen the car bought her. And you sent tears from heaven when you seen my car get balled up. But I can't complain what the accident did to my left eye. Cause look what an accident did to left eye. First Aaliyah, now Romeo must die. I know I got angels watching me from the other side.
When it comes to being true, it's true to me. Oh, one thing I found, one thing I found. Oh no, you never let me down.
Get up, I get up, I get. 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 Down.
We all here for a reason on a particular path.
You don't need a curriculum to know that you are part of the map. Cats think I'm delirious, but I'm so damn serious. That's why I expose my soul to the globe, the world. I'm trying to make it better for these little boys and girls. I'm not just another individual. My spirit is a part of this, that's why I get spiritual. But I get my hymns from him, so it's not me, it's he that's lyrical. I'm not a miracle, I'm a heaven-sent instrument. My rhythmic regiment navigates melodic notes for your soul or your mental. That's why I'm instrumental. Vibrations is what I'm into. Yeah, I need my Lubarende, but that ain't what gives me the heart of Kunta Kinte. I'm trying to give us free like Sinkay. I can't stop, that's why I'm hot. Determination, dedication, motivation. I'm talking to you and my many inspirations. Will I say that I can't let you or self down? If I were on the highest cliff, on the highest rift, and you slipped off the side and clenched onto your life in my grip, I would never, ever let you down. And when these words are found, let it be known that God's penmanship has been signed with a language called love. That's why my breath is felt by the deaf, and why my words are heard and confined to the ears of the blind. I too dream in color and in rhyme, so I guess I'm one of a kind in a full house. Cause whenever I open my heart, my soul, or my mouth, a touch of God rains out. Take him to church.
Get up, I get
who else you know and hot
this
long. Started from nothing, but he got
the
this strong.
Threw
the rock from a pebble, pedal rock before I met you. Pedal bikes, got my nephews pedal bikes because they special. Let you tell it, man, I'm falling. Well, somebody must have caught him, cause every fourth quarter I like the Mike Jordan them. Number one albums, what I got like four of them. More of them on the way, the eighth wonder on the way. Clear the way, I'm here to stay. Y'all can save the chitter chat, this and that, this and Jay. This and Jay will get you maced. When I start spitting them lyrics, niggas get very religious. Six Hail Marys, please, fathers, forgive us. Young, the Archbishop, the Pope John Paul, and y'all niggas, the way y'all all follow Jigga. Hove's a living legend, and I tell you why. Everybody wanna be Hove, and Hove's still alive.